It looks like the number of retirement millionaires has hit a record high of 500,000 at Fidelity. Do you have $1 million in your 401k? Are you a part of those 500,000 people? Will you have $1 million in your 401k when you retire? By some standards, they say that you need at least $1.5 million in order to retire comfortably. But are these numbers skewed? Is this something you should reach for? And is the increase of 401k millionaires a good sign for the economy? All this and more in this episode of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things. Welcome back. My name is A.B. Ridgway. I'm the host of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things and my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor, and as a certified private wealth advisor professional. Well, let me say this before we begin. If you're not subscribed to the podcast, please subscribe, please subscribe, please subscribe. Hit that like button, share with your friends and family. It really helps with the algorithm and spread the message of living rich and righteous. Well, brothers and sisters, I just have to let you know, I deal with high net worth individuals, so being a millionaire is not surprising to me. But what is surprising? Well, brothers and sisters, I need to tell you the truth behind 401ks. I mean, I deal with high net worth individuals all the time. They're millionaires. That's nothing new. But what is surprising is that even though the average 401k account balance is around $127,100, we are still seeing some growth as far as 401k millionaires. That is a great sign. Why? Because financial literacy is increasing. People like you are listening to the podcast. They're taking advantage of some of these strategies. They're hiring financial advisors. They're improving their investment strategies and they're saving more and they are gaining their financial freedom. So the question I do want to ask all of you is this, is why are so many people saving so much money in their 401ks? And is there something that you can do to kind of hop on this bandwagon? And the easy answer is yes. And the hard answer is not really. Now, why do I say the hard answer is no? Now, the hard answer is no because a lot of these 401k millionaires are first working for employers full-time that offer 401k benefits. What we are finding nowadays, this generation is starting to do a lot of part-time work. You know, part-time remote work, you know, two or three hustles trying to have 4 to 8 different streams of income, and we're realizing that too much diversification can thin out your income. So we're finding out that the benefit that used to come with loyalty to a single company are starting to fade. In the recent past, we start to see the diminishing of pension plans. I mean, when's the last time you've heard of the word pension? Another defined contribution plans where we had some type of stability or some expectations or at least something to look forward to when we are retiring, and those types of accounts in those days are starting to go away. And I remember during the pandemic, think about this here. When the market was pretty much open, right? There was a phenomenon called quiet quitting, where it was like, hey, this job needs me. I'm very important. You know, you can't talk to me like that. I'm going to HR. I'm just going to do the bare minimum. I'm not going to stay late. I'm not going to do any extra assignments. I'm not going to look for a promotion. You're just going to have to pay me money. And I could just go to a different job if I want to. Everyone's hiring. Well, during that time, when everyone's scrambling for a position and businesses didn't know about hiring people, you know, they were working on these skeleton crews. They needed hands. You know, nobody wanted to work. People were staying at home. But afterwards, the table seemed to turn. Businesses started to get the upper hand. They started to gain stability. Once the workforce started to return back to the office or making people go back to the office, now it seems like the workforce is getting a little tough. Even the tech industry, people were afraid of losing their jobs because of what was going on in the economy. These businesses got used to working skeleton crews, and us as consumers, we got used to just waiting because they blamed it all on the pandemic. I mean, I couldn't go anywhere with like, sorry for the delay, it's the pandemic. Sorry for the delay, it's the pandemic. There's traffic. Sorry for the delay, it's the pandemic, right? And then once it was gone, we didn't really even notice that there weren't a lot of customer service help. We didn't notice that there weren't a lot of real people, and tech was laying people off left and right. Amazon, 11,000 jobs, you know, Facebook, Google, all of them were just laying people off. But once again, what does this have to do with the 401k? And the thing is, when you're dealing with the 401k, it's about consistency. And it's about longevity, having a long time horizon, and it's about your contributions. You can't expect to contribute to a job for 1-2 years, get out, put the money into cash, and it never grows again. And then you expect to be some type of millionaire in 20 years, right? So once again, let's answer this question. Why does it matter that people are becoming 401k millionaires? Well, it proves our point that wealthy people benefit disproportionately from tax breaks on retirement accounts, point blank, period. A 401k is what they call a tax-deferred account, meaning that when you contribute to your 401k, you're not paying taxes in that year. You're paying lower taxes because you have a lower taxable income, right? And you are pushing the tax consequences into a year that hopefully you're in the lower tax bracket. If you were traditionally, let's say, a high earner, and you're in the 37% tax bracket for a majority of your assets, and then in retirement, you drop to 15%, that's a win. You're saving over 17% for every dollar that you pull out of that account. When you're just talking about a dollar, this is an extra 17 cent, right? Big deal, big whoop. But when you're talking about $1,000, right? Now you're talking about an extra $170 that you save, and you get to keep that in your pocket. Now, when you're talking about $1 million, now you're talking about $170,000 in taxes that you get to keep and you can use for other things. What can you do with $170,000? You could put a down payment on another rental property. Now you have some residual income that's coming in every month just because of one strategy of deferring taxes later on in your life. Now, what makes some of these people millionaires? Now, one thing they do is they do max out their 401ks. We talked about the contribution limits in prior episodes. I think maximizing your 401k, that episode was, I think, episode number 303 or 304 or something like that. Just go check out the titles. And that range, keep in mind, could change. It's usually adjusted each year due to inflation and other variables. But right now, it's around $23,000. And there is a maximum for you and your employer. I think it's the less of $69,000 if you're 50. And I think it goes up if you have the catch-up provision. There's a lot of details there. But you can speak to your financial advisor or you can reach out to me. We can go over those limits for you. I think in the prior episode, I think I actually break it down for year 2024. They're only good for this year. After this year, they're no good. So make sure that you're checking every year for that. But let's get back on task here. There's so many caveats to investing. That's why you always have to keep up on this stuff, because if you fall behind on information, you're going to give some bad information. This year, it may be 23,000. It may be 23,500 next year. So you want to make sure that you maximize your full benefit. And that comes with keeping up with the tax code. Now, I know you don't want to do that, but as financial advisors, as accountants, that's what we do here. Okay. But think about this though, $23,000 of income that you don't have to pay taxes on in this year. And you could defer, especially if you don't need the cash. And second of all, the matches of the 401k, that's an easy win here. You know, we talk about the percentages that some employers will match on your contribution. So not only are you putting money into your 401k, right? Your employer is matching, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6% of that money, right? You got to check your employee benefits to determine not all employers are going to contribute, but a lot of your major companies do. That's part of your employee benefits. I mean, where else are you going to get even a CD nowadays around 5%? But that's 5% on your money, not 5% dollar for dollar for what you contribute into that account. There's a big difference there, okay? So there's a difference between making 5% on your money and someone giving you 5% to match your dollar for dollar. Those are two different ball games. And some people don't even know that they can even contribute to their 401k or how much they're contributing at all. And all they really do is set it and forget it. And that's the worst thing that you can do. So if you haven't looked at your 401k in the past year or two, you may be losing out. You know, there may be some adjustments that you can make, or maybe you have an old job 401k and you haven't rolled it over and it's just sitting there. You haven't done anything with it. The longer it sits there, the less information you're going to have about it and how it could change your financial life. So regardless of where it's at, you need to know what's in it, the balances, and what you can do with it. So with the statistic now that we're seeing nearly 500,000 people at Fidelity who are millionaires, this should really inspire you to kind of make a difference and really look at your options. And I'm not saying go put in the next $23,000 that you make. Maybe you need some food, water, and shelter. And I'm not saying you just need to just throw your money behind a 401k. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is the goal is to live a life where you can push some of your purchasing power into the future so you can accumulate some of those funds tax deferred and take advantage of some of these accounts that the federal government has in place. You know, there are so many ways that you can save money. You know, I just recently talked to a client about a donor advised fund. You know, how many of you out there have a 529 plan for education? How many of you out there have a brokerage account? How many of you have capital losses that you can harvest on an annual basis, right? There are so many different ways that you can save on your taxes. There's different ways that you can make your money grow. So there's just so many things out there, but we are unaware of them because we are afraid to ask. Don't worry. A lot of people don't know about these programs, but we are trained to know about how to grow your money, how to make it work for you, and what tools are available for your financial situation. And this whole, like, you know what? I was never taught this stuff. It's no longer an excuse, okay? Because you're listening to this podcast, you can do something today if you really wanted to. Google is at the tip of your fingers. Anything that you want to know is at the tip of your fingers. It's about what you want to know. Now, I'm not expecting you to be a financial guru. I'm not expecting you to spend your hours at the end of the night studying for 2 or 3 hours trying to figure out how to balance an account. But what I am asking you to do is to put on your listening ears and your logic and say, I need help and I'm willing to pay a small percentage in order for someone to help me so I can spend more time spending time with my family. Because if you're not contributing to your 401k, think about it this way. Inflation was very high, right? During the pandemic. And we saw if you bought groceries in 2020, let's say they cost you $400. Now in 2024, they're like something like $500, $600. They're like almost 50% higher. We talk about growing your money all the time. You know, I need to grow my money. How can I grow my money? But you're going to have to try to figure out how to get some type of increase, you know, whether at your job. You know, when's the last time that you got a bonus? And you know, another thing, what I found out was that those who become millionaires when they're contributing to their 401ks are the same people who allow it to grow. They're not the ones that put the money in into their retirement and then they take a loan off of it, then they put it back and then they put it back into the 401k. I mean, that works because your 401k is going to grow as if that money is still there. But the idea that you're constantly taking money out and not making the contributions, that is the scary part. And it's, let's just put it this way. You have to suffer. You know, there's some sacrifices that you need to make if you're going to benefit in the future. And I really don't like to use the word suffer, just that we have to really learn to readjust our expectations of what life really is, because we're really sacrificing our financial freedom for current comfort. Which is better, to have financial freedom or to have a nice coat or to have a nice dress? And I'm here to tell you right now, there's no feeling better than having financial freedom. So you may be asking, well, how do you get financial freedom, Mr. Guru? Don't you need a lot of money? No, you don't need a lot of money. In order to get financial freedom, what you need is to multiply your life. And what does that look like? When you're talking about multiples of your life, let's say your living cost or your living expenses is $30,000 cash to live the life that you want to live. You know, you're talking about food, water, shelter, going to eat, maybe a little bit of entertainment and feeding the family, right? And I know what you're thinking, $30,000 is not enough in this economy, man. Okay, let's say $40,000 then. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you buying? I get it. Rent's high. I get it. Mortgages are high. But once again, when your mom and dad were telling you to settle down, get married, buy yourself a house, but you want to travel the world, you want to live free, you want to rent and you want to see different things, but you don't understand this. You have to make sacrifices, and the sacrifices you made of buying a home, you're not getting the benefits from, right? You got the benefits of the vacation, the pictures, and not of a home. And unfortunately, that's a sacrifice that you decide to make for yourself, but you need to make some new ones. But let's get back to the point here. Let's say that you have $40,000, gets you everything that you want now, and you can live up to that $40,000 lifestyle. You can buy everything that you wanted to. You can get the car that you've always dreamed of. You can live in the neighborhood that you've always wanted or whatever, and it may be easy. And let's say that you and your spouse both make $40,000. So now your income is $80,000, the benefit of being married, right? And you're living pretty comfortably, but you're living paycheck to paycheck. Everything comes in, it goes out. And you go out to eat 3 or 4 times a day, you order DoorDash, and you do all kinds of fun things. Now, that's not financial freedom, because if one of you loses your job, you don't have a savings account. Now you got to go back to square one. You might lose the car that you have, and you're going to be homeless, looking for another place to rent. Then you're going to be on the internet complaining about how expensive the economy is. That is not the way that you want to live. So what you want to do So let's say that you live a $40,000 lifestyle. Perfect, right? And you and your spouse both make $40,000. Now, every year, you potentially could save $40,000, right? You live off one income. Now, after 3 years, you have 3 years of savings that you have. And I'm not recommending 3 years of savings. This is just for illustrative purposes only. But what I am saying is that that money doesn't have to be in the same account. It could be invested. It could be in your 401k. It could be somewhere else, right? But what I am saying is that when you have three times the amount of money you need to survive, and you know that if you lost your job today, that you could survive for the next 3 years until you get it, that is financial freedom. That's where you start to feel wealthy. That is where you start to feel comfortable. Not because you have the best jewelry on, not because you have the best clothes, not because you dress the best. Is when you can have multiples of your life, and the more multiples that you have, the more comfortable you are going to feel. Now, there's only two ways to change the way that those multiples affect you and your finances. Either one, you make more money per year by keeping your lifestyle the same. Obviously, you can increase your multiples, or you can lower your lifestyle. Now, there's only so far you can go down, right? You still need clothes, you still need shoes, you know, you still need to get them from somewhere. But the quality of the clothes, how much those clothes actually cost or actually can actually be adjusted. So what I like to do is I like to spend the minimum amount that I have in order to survive to get to the next day. I mean, things that are clean, they're appropriate, and they're going to last long because I treat them right. That's all I need. A lot of our problem is that we get t-shirts from, let's say, Gucci or Versace, and we treat it like it's our firstborn child. We hold it really dear. We hold it really tender. We hang it up in our closet. We take it to the dry cleaners. We make sure we follow the care instructions that are on the tag. We don't let anything wrinkle it. We do all this stuff trying to protect this piece of cloth that probably costs, I don't know, $3 in a foreign market, but they're charging you $300 for that shirt. So you treat it like $300, even though it's a $3 shirt. But that $3 shirt that you get from Walmart, that may cost them 50 cents to make in that same factory. And you crumble it up. You don't even read the instructions that come on the shirt. You put it in the washer on high heat. You put it on the dryer for high heat as well. And, you know, it's three sizes too small once it comes out, right? And you call it trash. Oh, this is a piece of trash, right? But you see how you treat things just because you think about how much they cost. You think they have value. Both of these shirts are probably under $5 to make, but you treat one like a $300 baby and the other one like $3 to trash, right? So what I'm saying is that, yes, you do need a shirt, maybe somewhere in that range, whatever makes you comfortable, whatever makes your life right. And then you can splurge on things that you really need. Maybe it's education, maybe it's your children, maybe it's vacation, whatever it is. Make sure that you do spend on the things you see as quality. But regardless to what you choose to spend your money on, living below your means is going to be the best way to save money because think about it. You have the money. It's not like you don't, but which feels better? You just constantly spending your money or knowing that you have two or three times what you need in the bank account. That's my point. So I'm going to leave you with this. You probably can go look at the research yourself if you truly want to, but there's a lot of hope for us here. And there is a lot of benefit for saving into your 401k, obviously. And also, there are other ways to save on taxes. My recommendation is to talk to a tax professional. If you don't know where to start, you can always reach out to me. We help clients like this with their 401ks make that decision. Because a lot of people retire, they leave jobs, they don't know what to do with their money, and they just let it sit there, and they're losing all the benefits, or at least being aware of the benefits that come with a 401k retirement, or even rolling them into an individual retirement account and supplementing your income and learning about timing, contributions, all that fun stuff when it comes to investing. So if you're listening to this podcast, you have a 401k, don't know what to do with it, you can always schedule some time with me, AB Ridgway. I'm a certified private wealth advisor professional. I deal with high net worth individuals who are just really trying to manage the assets that they have so they can live their life in Christ and focus on the things that truly matter. Well, brothers and sisters, if everything I said sounds like a foreign language and you want some more information about 401ks and different types of accounts, I encourage you to download my newsletter, Four Pillars to Christian Investing. It's a 19-page beginner's guide to retirement savings. It goes over different types of accounts. It goes over the four pillars of a Christian financial plan, which is debt management, savings, investing, and wealth transfers. I highly encourage you to go download it. The link is going to be in the description. It's free of charge, no obligation. All we need is your name and your email, where to send it, and it's yours. After, if you're really interested in learning more about how we can help you live a life that is rich and righteous, you can schedule a consultation with us by going to our website, www.abrwealthmanagement.com. but I highly recommend you read the ebook first so you have a better idea of where you are in life and where you should be. Well, that is it for me. My name is AB Ridgway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.